I'm Barry Martin, and it's time right now to learn more about this shortage of harvest interns topic. You might have heard some mention of that in the news the last couple of days. And joining us right now from Artesa Winery is Anna Diogo Draper, who is the director of winemaking at Artesa. Anna, welcome to the radio show.
Thanks, Barry. Having me.
You bet. We're certainly glad to have you and to learn more about this this problem. Is it as simple as the fact that the coronavirus is keeping people from coming to Napa for the harvest like they normally would?
Well, I'm sure that's also one of the issues we're having. But the main one is the cancellation of the J-1 visas. All the industries, our wine industry relies heavily on J-1s. I'm originally from Portugal, and that's how I ended up in California and in the wine industry here, was coming to do an internship on a J-1 visa. With the house shortage in California, the high cost of living, in recent years, it's been harder and harder to find people locally in Napa Valley, in Sonoma County, in the state of California, and throughout the U.S., willing to move here temporarily to work harvest. And so wineries have relied more and more in international interns to fulfill these internships, these harvest internships. And also these interns bring in a great deal of knowledge. A lot of them work harvest in the northern and southern hemisphere, which are roughly 6 months apart. So they bring a lot of knowledge, a lot of happy endeavor to harvest. It was a huge blow for the industry that those visas aren't allowed. And we hope that we would see an influx of local applicants for these internships, but unfortunately we haven't seen that so far.
And I can't imagine why not, because the wine business is so romantic and it's so much fun and everybody's just, you know, in a beautiful sundress and sipping wine all the time.
Well, that's what people think. And also, you know, when I tell someone, what do you do? I'm a winemaker. Oh, that's amazing. I have to say, when you get to this point, it is a pretty spectacular, and I won't lie, it's a very fun way to make a living. But to get here, you definitely have to put a lot of miles and a lot of hard work. And harvest is very hard work. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of dedication. It requires a lot of commitment. We basically put our personal lives on hold for 3 to 4 months and immerse ourselves in harvest and wine production at the winery.
Yeah.
So it is something whenever someone tells me, I want to be a winemaker, what do? And I always tell them, you need to work a harvest, because you either love it or hate it. But either way, it will be part of your life for the next 30 years. So you better love it.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely, requires a lot of love.
So this is literally a concerted effort. My notes here say there's about 25 wineries locally who are looking for interns, people to work the harvest. And so you're actively recruiting. Tell us a little bit about what the job entails, what that time commitment is. Is it true that you might work 70 or 80 hours a week during the crush?
Well, I think it depends on the wineries. Every winery schedules things in a different way. You know, smaller wineries, things will come, you know, in a different flow. For instance, at Artesa, we are located in Carneros in the southern end of Napa Valley. So we're our main production is Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. So that happens mostly the month of September. But Artesa is beautifully located. We have, a lot of wines that we make just for the tasting room and the wine club. We're owned by a Spanish company, by a Spanish family. And so we also produce, they're the biggest sparkling wine producers in Spain. So we produce sparkling wine. We produce Albariño, Tempranillo, Spanish varietals, and also produce Cabernet. So our harvest is very long. It starts beginning of August and then ends usually end of October, mid to late November, depending on how harvest flows. And so it is long, and some others that probably make just Cabernet, that harvest will be a shorter span. So the hours, it is an hour commitment. At the peak of harvest, we work usually 6 hours a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. So doing the math, probably about a 67-hour easily work week. Some will work less and some probably will work more. What we do in a day, start to say, depends on, but it mostly involves helping with receiving grapes, pump overs, crushing fruit, doing additions to tanks, additions to barrels, putting juice in barrels, and a lot of cleaning. Sanitizing 101, as I call it, is number one. You know, you find interns and find all of us, honestly, with hoses in our hands trying to keep everything clean and sanitizing tanks. Sanitization is number one thing to make good wine. So there's never a boring moment, I can tell you that.
is a person required to be full-time committed to work all six of those days, that 10 to 12 hours, or are there part-time jobs as well during the crush?
Again, that will depend on the winery. We've done a lot of times part-time. Often people have not related to the industry jobs during the day, and then they leave their job and decide to have a, you know, we usually divide teams by shift, day shift, night shift, and a lot of times wineries will have a part-time night shift. So you can work four or five hours in the evening. So from like, I don't know, let's say from 5 to 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But mostly it is a full-time job, and that's why I'm saying commitment is so important. I think it is hard work. It's very fulfilling. You really feel like you're producing and creating something, and something is wine. There is so much poetry to it, as you mentioned. But it's very important that whoever decides to do an internship understands that once you sign up for it, we're counting on you, and we're counting on that commitment that you will show up on time. And after a month or two, we're all tired. And obviously this year with the COVID constraints, there's a lot more emphasis on safety and physical distancing. And we will, you know, be wearing masks most of the time, or a lot of times, even outside, if we can't guarantee that, you know, the distancing, depending on the task on hand. But in words, inside the winery, any task inside, we will be all wearing masks 100% of the time, sanitizing everything. So, yes, the commitment has to be there. And mostly, I'd say there will be full-time job.
Yeah. And paying $18 to $20 an hour, roughly. I'm scanning through some of the listings here at NapaVintners.com. That's about the range of pay. What about experience necessary? Do you need to know what you're doing, or will you get the training that you need at this point?
There's a wide range. So when we hire interns, or when we start interviewing and hiring interns, there's a wide range from people who've worked harvest before, but we always hire interns that if we see that a person has the passion, has the drive, has the commitment, and that interest, that motivation. I think being a go-getter, not waiting for someone to tell you what to do, because we're all so busy and rushing around during harvest is very important. But I'd say experience is not something that is required. And like I said, every vintage, even without current situation and the lack of interns, we always hire people without experience. And I'd say this year, it wouldn't be any different.
All right, very good. And a person can, as I mentioned, go to the NapaVintners.com website. There's a link right there on the front page. Shows all the wineries that are hiring for interns for the harvest. We're talking, by the way, with Anna Diogo Draper from Artesa, where she's the director of winemaking. Is this a path, a starting point for somebody listening saying, you know, I'm not sure that I want to work 70 hours a week, but I sure would like to get into the wine industry. I've always wanted to know how to make wine. Is this an entry point, an entry level job that can lead to something more permanent down the road?
Absolutely. I think, again, it will depend on the winery. A lot of times wineries will tell you, within the interns, there's a position or two positions open. And for me, I rarely hire, if I'm looking for someone for my my cellar team, my winery production team, I've had the most successful results with people that I've hired after harvest, because you really can see people's true colors, how they handle themselves under stress, how they, you know, how they work in a fast pace, how they work as a team. Teamwork is the number one thing during harvest. If you don't work, I mean, I guess it's the number one thing throughout the year in the wine, in a production team, but during harvest, it's really capital that you understand that the success of the wine we're making, which is the core of our job, can only be achieved working as a team with everybody, interns, full-time staff, winemaking team. It is the path if this is what you decide you want to do. And like I said, it's the best way for you to see, and you know right away, after working a harvest season, either you got that bug in you that says, oh my God, I love this, this is what I want to do, or you say, no, never, I want to see an air pump or a pump over the vise. I never want to do a punch down or see a grape in my life. Mm-hmm. So either way, you will know by the end of harvest if this is what the path you want to go or not. So yeah. I do advise people, if you have that curiosity, this is the best way to find that out.
Very good. Lastly, in terms of the physical demands, you need to be a certain level of fitness, I would say, to do this job, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't say a level of fitness. You have to be able to climb stairs. There's a lot of up and down stairs to go check top of tanks. You on your feet for most of the day, and you only probably sit down at, you know, lunchtime or dinner time or during breaks. So you don't have to be I wouldn't say you have to be fit, but you have to be able to, lift. There's definitely some lifting involved too. And I think if you have the drive, you'll be able to do it. I wouldn't say you have to be very fit, but you have to be able to do those things.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Once again, NapaVintners.com is the place you can go see all the specific individual wineries listings, what they're paying, what their descriptions are. There's some 25 or so that are looking to fill these critical jobs. What would happen, last question, Anna, what would happen if you can't fill these positions? The grapes have to come in when they're ready. You can't just leave them out there, wait till you have more help.
Yeah, we just means we're much more strained, particularly this year, because as I said, we're putting on very, very strict safety and sanitation processes in place because of the pandemic. So this is a year on top of the regular harvest operations. We have a dire need of people to really, because everyone has to pitch in, you know, sanitizing everything and making sure all surfaces that are commonly touched, which when you think in a winery, in a wine production setting, there's a lot of them. So we have more dire need of people. So if we can't find the extra help that we need, it just means more a bigger workload on our full-time staff and the interns we have so far. So it is a need, and it's got us all obviously concerned if we can't find more help.
All right. And lastly, how's the crop looking this year? What are your expectations for the 2020 vintage?
It's looking good. There's a lot of. I was actually out in vineyards all morning yesterday. It's looking good. I think water is probably, we had a very dry season. Yields are a little spotty. Some varietals have better yields than others. We're trending about a couple weeks, I think, ahead on our vineyards of what we've seen in 2019. I am a little concerned with water availability for all these vineyards, particularly with the warm season that we're experiencing and all the droughts. We haven't seen years this dry in a long, long time. So, but so far the quality looks, we have no mildew pressure, knock on wood so far, which sometimes is a concern this time of year. Variations starting to peak here and there. So in some varietals, we're probably 6 weeks away for sparkling. I think we're probably going to start seeing it rolling in first week of August, probably. But it, I think it looks good. I think if everything goes to normal, obviously we're all very nervous with this current situation of the help, the interns, but also with COVID and what it could mean if, you know, if people get sick at the winery, you have to quarantine, or in the vineyards with picking crew. So we're all, everybody in the industry, we're taking so much precautions to avoid that. But if everything goes well, I think we have all the ingredients to have a really successful vintage and really good quality wine.
It would be great if there were one thing about 2020 that turned out to be good, right?
Yes, please. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. A real pleasure talking with you, Anna. Thanks for all the information, and best of luck going through this next few weeks and through the harvest.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for shedding a light on this. And I really encourage everybody to at least go to the website, to the Napa Valley Vintners, and take a look and see if anything kind of spikes your curiosity. And it is a labor of passion. It is hard work, but it's also, to me, one of the most gratifying parts of the year. It's my favorite part of the year. I've been doing this for a long time, and it never gets old. So thank you for shedding a light on this.
Absolutely. Planet. My pleasure. Thanks again.